the opportunity to come together, to fellowship together, and to worship your holy name. Father, let everything that we say and everything that we do bring praise and honor to your holy name. And everybody said, amen.
So you can stand, you can sit, however you want to worship.
We sing in jubilation, adoration to a joyful King. You were spinning, you were singing, zealous love over all your children. We sing in jubilation, adoration to a joyful King. You were spinning, you were singing, zealous love over all your children.
Ready?
Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day.
All
thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect thy rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Mortals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music lifts us onward in the triumph's long line. We sing in jubilation and adoration to our joyful King. You were spinning and you were singing, zealous love over all your children. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever, and I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. and I could sing out your love. Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love. I know I feel like dancing. It's foolishness, I know. But when the world has seen the light, they will dance with joy like we're dancing now. And I could sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. And I could sing of your love, oh, forever. Oh, forever. We're singing on breakthrough. Welcome, Holy One. You welcome in this place. You welcome, Holy One. Come. Now is the time to worship. Come. Now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come. Just as you are to worship. Come. Just as you are before your God. Oh, come. Thank you. just as you are, to worship. Oh, come just as you are before your God. When come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Oh, come, just as you are, to worship. Come just as you are before your God. Oh, and come. Oh, yum, yum, yum. Thank you. my heart is your altar. So come and be my fire. Jesus, no one else will do. 'Cause I'm burning with desire for your name. Let my heart burn, let it burn for you, yeah, yeah. Let my heart burn, let it burn for you. No other love, no other name, no other fire but yours remains. No other love, no other name, no other fire but yours remains. Let me burn with holy love. Let me burn with holy love. Oh, give us a generation that says no to toleration, but rather chooses to be free. And oh God, give us a new breed. Let me burn with holy love. Let me burn with holy love. Yeah. Let my heart burn. Let it burn. Yeah, yeah. And let my heart burn, and let it burn for you. No other love, no other name, no other fire but yours remains. No other love, no other name, no other fire but yours remains. No other love, no other name, no other fire but yours remains. Let me burn with holy love. Let me burn with holy love. Let me burn with holy love. Let me burn with holy love.
Oh, It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter where you are. He desires for you. He loves you just the way you are. His peace is waiting there for you. He is burning for desire for you alone. He wants you to come to him.
Is burning you, and all the shame falls away at the sound of his name, Jesus. And all the shame falls away at the sound of his name, Jesus. Been made new, and all the old has become new. He makes all things beautiful ashes. He's making all things new.
slow down, take time, breathe in, he said. He'd reveal what's to come. Thoughts in his mind, always higher than mine, and he'll reveal all to come. Slow down, take time, breathe in, he said. He'd reveal what's to come. The thoughts in his mind, always higher than mine, and he'll reveal all to come. So take courage, my heart, and stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing.
Sing praise, my soul. Find strength in joy.
Let his words lead you on. Do not forget his great faithfulness. He'll finish all he's begun. Sing praise, my soul. Find strength and joy. And let his words lead you on.
Do not forget his great faithfulness. He'll finish all he's begun. And take courage, my heart, and stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing.
You who hold the stars, who call them each by name, will surely keep your promise to me that I will rise in your victory. Oh, you who hold the stars, who call them each by name, will surely keep your promise to me, and I will rise in your victory. So take courage, my heart, and stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. Yeah, he's in the waiting. And hold as your triumph unfolds, he's in the waiting. Oh, he's never failing. Yeah, take courage, my heart, and stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. Oh, he's in the waiting. And hold on to your hope. It's your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. And take courage, my heart, and stay steadfast, my soul.
He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. Enrich my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. And you are the stars who call them each by name. We'll surely keep your promise to me that I will rise in your victory. Oh, and you hold the stars who call them each by name. You'll surely keep your promise to me that I will rise in your victory. So take courage, my heart, and stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. Oh, he's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope. As your triumph unfolds, he's never failing. Oh, he's never failing. Take courage, my heart, and stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And hold on to your as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing. Singing
this, my mind went back to an Old Testament scripture. If I'm not mistaken, it's in Isaiah. But Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I think that's part of the word of the Lord, you know, for us. Because he's in the waiting. He promises to never leave and never forsake us. He's there. He's in us. And all we have to do, you know, is trust. Harder than easier said than done, I guess, is the expression that I'm looking for. But once you start to do it, once you start to wait upon him and listen, you know, to listen for his voice, and you start to practice that as a part of your daily routine, maybe even an hourly routine, as you spend time in his presence and learn to really hear his word. Because he's in that waiting. And so while you wait, and the word also there means to serve, you know, to serve others. So that's one of the things, you know, you need to do. While you're in waiting, get out of yourself, okay? congregate and begin to serve, because as you serve, then he can, you know, as you're moving, as you're doing something, as you're going forward, he can anoint that, and his power and the kingdom begin to flow. So I just kind of wanted to expand upon that.
Did you do that song?
The song? Absolutely.
Slow down, take time, breathe in, he said. He'd reveal what's to come. Thoughts in his mind, always higher than mine, but he'll reveal all to come. Sing praise,
my soul, find
strength and joy, and let his words lead you on. Do not forget his great faithfulness. He'll finish all he's begun. So take courage, my heart, and stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. He's in the waiting. And hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing.
He's never failing.
He's never failing.
He'll never, ever.
Take courage, my heart. Stay steadfast, my soul. He's in the waiting. Hold on to your hope as your triumph unfolds. He's never failing. He's never failing.
I know, Stephanie, did you want to be prayed for a physical need, physical issue, or for your knee? Okay. Who else has a healing need this morning? Knees? Knees? My knees need healed.
Headaches.
Sciatic nerve. Okay. Which
Headaches.
The left side. No, the right side. Okay. Mine's on the left. All right.
Eric's back. Big time, yes.
Okay. Mike?
Ben's going back home.
Okay. We're going to kind of send him out at the end of the service in our final ministry. But in this kind of atmosphere of worship. So, Stephanie, would you... Anybody that just expressed a healing need, if you could just come down front. Oh, I didn't see your hand go up. Or are you just supporting your sis? Oh, all right. Headaches? All right. Put that again. Okay. Well, let your brain loose and help it go away. Oh, okay. That's fine. Jump some more. Oh, Stephanie, just come right here. And which knee is it, though? Oh, you got a hole. All right, that works. There we go. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. May I just lay my hand on you as I pray? You all kind of stand here, gather around a little bit, and we'll just minister. There you go. Ashatama kuturi. Father, tighten the ligaments. Tighten the tendons. They've been stretched out of place. So, Father, I ask that you just tighten them and you strengthen this knee. You strengthen these muscles right here that move that knee, that open and close, if you will, that joint. Father, I command any inflammation to leave now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He's like, you know, way up here. Kelly has a diminishing problem with headaches. Let's put it that way. He's gaining ground, as I understand it. But he hasn't gotten total victory there yet. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the past, you helped me to pray for those with headaches, and they've been just destroyed. They just disappear and they don't come back. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just loose that anointing right now to break off these headaches that Kelly has. And if he has any pain now, I command it to go and never, never return. I command all the nerves and the blood vessels and everything that's involved in this to function normally now. In Jesus' name. Get any dizziness, Kelly, at all, or a little bit? You hadn't fallen down or anything, though. Well, Lord, just sweep that away to you. Just refresh and turn him to completely normal. Whatever normal is for Kelly. Okay. You took her. All right. Okay, that works. That works. Sinus infections. There's to get other people gathered around. There's so many folks here. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm supposed to get you too. I don't know why, but I'm supposed to get you too. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You got some decisions too?
Okay.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just break this curse that's fallen upon your people this morning. You cursed is a man, every man that's hung on a tree, and you were hung on a tree, and you became the curse for us. So right now, in these five individuals that have sinus issues, you have sinus issues, your eye, look at that. I break that off right now. In Jesus' name, I command the inflammation to stop, to be gone. Father, whatever their bodies are reacting to, I break that sensitivity right now, and I command their immune systems to respond completely normally. If there is infection, Father, I command the immune system to attack any infection, any bacteria or viruses. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, heal. Just draw out the infection. Song. If you remember what she was singing, you know, they were talking about shame. You know, I think Kelly was ministering to that and breaking that off. But hurts. And we've all had hurts at one time or another. But if they're lingering things, the Lord will set you free from those.
Tradition.
Because his
tradition.
Okay.
I feel like being in where we are, it's always tradition that you clean up before you come on Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no matter what you do Friday, Saturday night, you always clean up before you come on Sunday morning.
That's
it.
That's it. That's right.
What you did during the week. He's here.
Right.
And he knows your heart. And he loves you.
Yep. All you have to do is call on his name to receive the love that he wants to lavish. Is the only word I can think of. When he lavishes his love upon us, that perfect love casts out fear, and it'll take out shame, it'll take out anything negative as long as you receive that love, you know, and respond to Him, to His voice. So, Father, right now, I just loose a healing balm to flow through this place, to heal past hurts, to heal past hurts. And Father, where there's shame, in the name of Jesus, I break shame off of you, and I command it to leave. You have nothing to be ashamed of. Jesus Christ was shamed before men. They plucked his beard, you know, and they scourged him, and he took shame upon himself that we can be free. So, Father, right now, I just declare your freedom over this body and over anyone who is suffering from the effects or presence of shame. In Jesus' name. Prophesied to you guys in public, is that all right? You're coming into a very new season, spiritually speaking. Okay? You've grown in the spirit, you know, in steps. I think baby steps might be a good way to describe that. But right now he is loosing deeper understanding of his word. Read his word. It's just gonna cut right straight to your heart, and then from your heart it'll work its way through, you know, your mind, to renew your mind. So it's a new season. You're gonna go higher and deeper in God by leaps and bounds. Jesus ready. Is that right? Get you where you are. Is that okay? All right. All right. To kind of close our worship time, a song that's become real, real popular here is Mercy. And it has the line in it that mercy triumphs over judgment. And as they sing that song, when they finish, then we'll, you know, take our break, get a bite or whatever. Okay? Worship team?
We may stay here all day, Earl. We may stay here all day. Don't tell me what to do.
You get that chance the last week in November. Hallelujah.
My past embraced, my sin forgiven. I am blameless in your sight. My history rewritten. My past. My sin forgiven. I am blameless in your sight. My history rewritten.
Mark.
'Cause you delight in showing mercy. And mercy triumphs.
Yes.
I know that you delight in joy.
death alive, from wrong to right, you're making all things beautiful.
It's your words. And Father, I thank you that your mercies are new every morning. I screw up every day, so a fresh dose of mercy every morning just cleanses and helps me just to go on. So if you need mercy, just accept it from God right now. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thanks, Jess. Appreciate it. Okay. Get you some coffee. Go to the bathroom. Turn on the light. All right. Some of it old, some of it not so old. Okay. Let's see. 12 o'clock. All right. I probably won't keep you more than about 20 minutes. If that, I'm not like Terry, I only have 2 pages of notes, you know, so it won't take me 2 hours just to read the notes. Okay. One of the first little things I want to say is there wasn't any fruit today because I procrastinated and did not get to the store in time to get fruit. And when I was there, I forgot it. So for those combination of things, for all you fruit lovers that come and want your fruit fix on Sunday, please forgive me. That's all I can say. All right. What I'm going to talk about today, though, strangely enough, is procrastination. Yeah, I'll get around to it. That's right. I will get around to it. I'll start with a definition of procrastination. It means to put off intentionally and habitually. So that means you make a habit of putting it off. It also means to put off intentionally the doing of something that should be done. Now, I wanted to get you, you know, really neat Greek and Hebrew definitions of the word. And as I used my concordances and I looked through 10 different Bible versions in English, and the word procrastination doesn't appear in any of the English-speaking Bibles. Say what? Well, you could say that, except by looking at our lives. I have a feeling it's self-evident. It is in my life, but it's on its way out. All right, so I couldn't find a real, you know, Greek and Hebrew kind of words to wow you with, but I did look it up, and the origin is Latin from the word procrastinatus, and it's spelled just about like it sounds. And procrastinatus is formed from two words, the Latin word pro, which means forward, and the other word is crastinus, which means of tomorrow. So the Latin origins of the word are to go forward to tomorrow. Okay? I will. Right out of the word. And I'm going to give 2 examples from the word. It just means to put off. to put something off.
Postpone.
Postpone.
Well, I know I need to go in there and do the dishes, but maybe after a nap I might drive this.
There you go. Okay.
That's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to dive into that a little bit deeper with some scriptural examples. The word was the word was first used in 1588. So it's been around a day or two. It just, for some reason, is not in any of the English translated Bibles. Now there is a Greek word for it, you know, but I had to go to Latin and translate it into Greek, and then I couldn't find anything in the lexicons of the English versions that had that Greek word in it. So I'm sure it's there, but I had to kind of approach this from more personal experience, I guess, rather than being able to dig deep into the Hebrew and Greek. So you'll just have to be satisfied with Latin today. Okay, some synonyms of the word: to delay, to lag, to loiter, to dawdle. Dawdle doing the dishes. How about that for alliteration? And dally. You know, that's more of an English word, I think. You know, they dally. They don't do dilly dally is an expression, and that's the dally. You dilly dally around, you know. And basically, yes. All right. So procrastinate means to move or act slowly, so as to fall behind. It typically implies blameworthy delay, especially through, pull your toes in, laziness or apathy. Ooh, both of my toes hurt. Okay? All right. I'm sure everybody's heard of Jeff Foxworthy, right? Now, you know you're a redneck if you have to have a stepladder to get in your pickup truck or whatever. You know, I mean, he's got, I guess that's for you. You just recently had a pickup truck. You almost had to have a stepladder to get in. Yeah. All right. So I kind of was just being silly with this a little bit. And I said, you might be a procrastinator if the love bugs from May are still on your grill when the September batch hatches. Anybody bear witness? I know Martin won't, because he gets out there every day and washes them off. Okay. That was sort of maybe directed more towards us guys. Now, here's the one you're talking about. You might be a procrastinator if you need to use a pressure washer or a sandblaster to clean the dishes in the kitchen sink. Okay? Yeah. Okay. So I just thought I'd kind of start with a little humor there. Because this does get personal for each of us. I pulled two examples from Scripture that I think really, really represent the process, if you will, of procrastination. The first one is Acts 24, and it's verses basically 25 through 28. You'll recognize the passage when we get there. Starting in verse 24, this was right after one of the riots in Jerusalem, where they were you know, going after Paul and the Sanhedrin or whatever that ruling body is called. All those religious folks had Paul captive. And but they couldn't really try him in their courts. And anyway, one of the centurions or Roman officers found out that he was a citizen of Rome. So you couldn't charge a citizen of Rome in a Hebrew court. So this guy sweeps in the middle of the night and wakes everybody up. I don't know if it's middle of the night or not. But anyway, he grabs Paul and takes him to, you know, the Roman garrison where he's, quote, protected as a Roman citizen. And then he comes before, let's see, some days after, on verse 24, some days afterwards, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So Paul got a chance to preach to Felix, the ruler, okay, and to minister. But what did Felix do with Paul's preaching? Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, mark this, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you." Okay? So he was going to deal with the message of salvation when it was convenient. Okay? He set it aside for tomorrow. Is that not procrastination? I mean, that's exactly what he did. All right. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul in jail. And at this time, then Felix went back to his boss, you know, in Rome, and went on doing whatever he could do. And I looked up, I forget what it's called, but Josephus, the historian, he's a great historian of you know, Hebrew and Greek and the Hebrew nation. And I looked up Felix in that, and nowhere does it say that he was ever converted. There's no mention in history that he underwent conversion or gave in to Paul's teaching or preaching. So I have no reason to assume that he ever got saved. And so he just went to hell. What can I say? He heard the word. Paul taught him the word. Okay? But he didn't respond to it. He put it off till a time that was convenient. And before you knew it, it was time for him to leave, and he never had an opportunity, you know, again, as far as I can tell from history or from Scripture, to talk with Paul again. So there's two reasons I think that Felix really procrastinated. Okay? Fear, we talked about that. All right. Fear was one of them. Corruption was the other reason that Felix procrastinated, because he thought maybe if he dangled Paul for a while, Paul would get tired of being in jail and he'd float him a bribe so that he could be released. So because of fear of, you know, the teachings about righteousness and self-control and judgment, and also, you know, his greed, his desire, you know, to get a bribe from Paul. So fear and corruption were his primary reasons for procrastinating and going to hell, quite frankly. All right, I already said that. Okay, now I want to go to Matthew 25. Do I need to go? Yeah. And actually, I think its story starts in verse 1. And you guys know this. You know this story. You know, the 10 virgins. Okay, five of them were
this righteous. Five of them, you know, were prepared. Five of them were Girl Scouts. Okay, if you want to, when they got ready, you know, to go, they took extra oil with them so that if the bridegroom delayed, and the oil in their lamps ran out, they would be prepared. They didn't hesitate. They didn't put it off. Okay. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish or stupid. Same difference. They were just plain stupid, you know? And their stupidity cost them, as you read the rest of the story. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." All the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish, or stupid, said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise virgins answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And so while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. The door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And these are some of the saddest words that you'll ever hear in Scripture. And Jesus said them several times, especially in his parables. But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I don't know you." Some other scriptural references where he says, "I never, depart from me, I never knew you." You know, I mean, that's the concept here. So because these stupid women chose not to fill their lamps with oil and bring extra oil, they decided to wait, okay, thinking that the wise virgins would help them out. But while they were procrastinating, the wise virgins in their wisdom said, "No, we're ready. We're going in when he comes." So the other ones, the stupid ladies, I like saying that for some reason this morning. It just feels good. How should I? There's plenty of stupid men. I'm not, you know, but that feels good this morning. So, you know, they went to try and buy oil. You know, and now where are you going to find somebody in the middle of the night to sell you oil? First off, you know, that seems to me to be kind of a problem. But they couldn't. They couldn't find any oil. So while they were trying to undo the results of their procrastination and not being prepared and not being ready, the bridegroom came, admitted the 5 wise virgins, and he closed the door, and the 5 stupid virgins ended up casted out. For all intents and purposes, they joined Felix. Do I need to unpack that? I love the way Terry says that. Do I need to unpack that? I like that. Okay. So, why did the 5 virgins procrastinate? Basically, stupidity. What was the result of their procrastination? They were prevented from entering into the kingdom of God. They were left out in the cold, in the dark, because they didn't have any oil for their lamps, you know. So they were prevented from entering, you know, the kingdom of God. Okay, I have lots of reasons that I use to procrastinate with, and I'm sure I'm not the only procrastinator in the room. Now, there might be one, you know. Now, Martin, he doesn't procrastinate. Very seldom. From my experience with him, he's a go-getter. He gets it done. Something pops up, man, he's Johnny on the spot, buys the tools he needs, the equipment he needs, and zap, you know, and I'm like scratching my head, you know, because he's gone. So I don't think I can lay procrastination on Martin particularly. And there may be some other weird people in here that don't procrastinate at all. I mean, there are some folks that just aren't wired that way. They just, you know, they do it. It's just their, you know, but I was never wired that way for whatever set of reason. My kinfolk over here, my blood kinfolk anyway, they're shaking their heads and agreeing with that. You blame Grandpa and my dad. Yeah. No, it was Mom, but that's neither here nor there. That's old family history. We don't need to dive into that. Okay? Hush over there in the peanut gallery. Okay, so some reasons for procrastinating. We've already heard a couple of them. Fear. Felix. Fear. Corruption. Trying to make a buck. You know, were his two reasons for procrastinating. Stupidity. Five virgins went to hell, basically, because they procrastinated and were not prepared when he got there. Physical pain. See, physical pain. She's trying to justify her procrastination over there by being in pain. I heard that. But that's you know, and I think that may be a little bit legitimate, if any of these can be. I just don't have time. I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to wash the dishes or vacuum the floor, you know, or fold my laundry or whatever the issues are. You know, I don't have time. What do I do with my time? What do I do with most of my time, Austin? I spend it glued to Fox News, right? I spend it glued to Fox News. I don't know how much time I waste there. That's something I've got to, the Lord's got to deal with me as well. Let's see, physical pain, I don't have time. We make excuses. We just plain make excuses. And the Lord addressed this in Luke 14. I'm not going to go there, but that's the parable where they say he's a master of the house, or he's not really, you know, a president or a political figure or whatever, but he's a guy with money in a big house, and he wants to throw a party. So he sends his servants out to invite some specific people to come, you know, and the three key people all had excuses. One just got married. You know? Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Another one had just bought 10 yoke of oxen, and he had to go out in the field and try them out. He just got a new car, man, and I got to take that thing out the interstate and open it up. I ain't got time to go to this party. And the other one bought a piece of land, and he had to just go and check out this land. He didn't have time or the desire. You know, he wanted to take care of the things that tickled his flesh. And I guess being married could also be involved in there. It doesn't say how long ago the guy got married. All right? So those are some of the main issues. But then the result of them is none of those people got to go into the feast. None of those people were invited, if you will, into the kingdom. The master of the house said, go out into the highways and the byways and you know, compel them to come in. You know, he did his very best to fill the house, you know, but not with the key people that he wanted, because they were shut out. Okay, so basically last Monday night here in prayer, we were praying, and we were like asking God, you know, why don't I see your power moving through me, like I'd like to, like it does in the Old Testament? And I'm sitting right there where John is, and just clearly, clearly, clearly I heard, because you procrastinate, and that's a sin unto me. And if you, you know, I don't know that there's a scripture that, says that it's sin, but if you look at the results, it's death. So the wages of sin are death, you know. So chronic procrastination is sin. It's just plain sin. I mean, that's all there is to it. There's no other ways around it. It causes death. So, you know, I can't be any clearer than that. So Monday night, first thing I did, you know, was I confessed that. Well, I was praying out loud and confessed it because there were other people in the room at the same time. You know, it's not like I went and shook somebody's head and said, I'm a dirty, rotten procrastinator, you know. Please announce it to the world. I'm doing that now. So, your first step is to examine yourselves. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you check your motives. You know, when you see the results of procrastination, because they're generally visible one way or another, you know, it could be visible in your mailbox if you haven't sat down and paid the due bills, you know, late notices, or you know, whatever it happens to be, you can see the results of procrastination. Dirty dishes, love bugs, okay? You can see the results of procrastination. So, you know, examine yourselves. The scripture tells us over and over, you know, to examine ourselves and to invite the Holy Spirit. So the psalmist said, to search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me, you know, and show me that I might confess it and that I might repent and I might get cleansed from the impurity of that sin. So, you know, once you've, you know, make you a list of the procrastination things you do, you know, make a list of them. Now, you may have a very short list. Mine kept getting longer and longer and longer. But, you know, make a list and then confess those. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to what? I can't hear you. Forgive our sins and what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? So that's a very significant first step. Quit laughing at me because you thought I was going to fall. All right. So you get cleansed from unrighteousness. And then again, you appeal to the Holy Spirit for guidance and direction and his help. His mercies are new every morning. You know? And I suggest that you kind of, you know, after you've confessed and you know received forgiveness from him, I suggest that you start off kind of small. So if you're like me, procrastination's a stronghold. Because it's been there for 50 years. You know, since I was 16, 17. You know, I don't know how I ever made it through grad school with straight A's. I don't know how many papers I turned in at 11:59. I used to check the time, you know. Is it 11:59 where the professor is? Oh no, it's only, you know, 10:50. Oh good, I got another hour. You know, I checked the time zones. But again, procrastination, you know. List the things. Start small. Pick one area. Okay? And then you have to choose. It's a choice. Holy Spirit tells you to go wash the dishes, and he will. He will. And so you watch Fox News instead. You know, it's a choice. And it's a choice you have to make. You know, choose you this day whom you will serve, Joshua said. And as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So it's a choice. And sometimes, you know, this last week, I've had to make the choice several times. Sometimes I chose rightly, and sometimes I didn't choose so right. Thank God his mercy triumphs over judgment in their new everyone. But pick one and work on it. Say, Lord, I need your help. I'm going to make sure the kitchen sink is empty of dirty dishes. And that doesn't mean you put them in the trunk of the car either. That means you washed them and dried them and put them away after you put away the pressure washer. No. And then, you know, we talked about procrastination becoming a habit. You know, it's a habitual. It was a habitual to put off intentionally and habitually. It becomes a habit in your life. And you can choose to develop new habits. But you got to work on them. I mean, I got 50 years to overcome. You know? But God is helping me. And it'll happen. So focus on something that you can kind of overcome, and then make it habit forming. You know, reprogram your mind so that when you walk into the kitchen, and the Holy Spirit says, "Wash the dishes," you have to reprogram your mind to say, okay, I'll do that now. And once you, that becomes a habit, you know. And each time you replace one of the old habits with a new habit, you tear out a section of the wall of the stronghold. Okay, and then you replace that with the Word, and you replace that by doing good, by practicing, you know, what He tells you to do and to say. Okay. So, any comments, questions? It was awfully quiet, so I assume I was speaking to the right crowd of people this morning.
You think it might be a demonic spirit?
I think it can be.
Because depression is a demonic spirit.
That's one of the things for procrastinating.
A lot of things in your life can be a demonic spirit that Satan has put forward.
I mean, that's certainly... That's right. I mean, that's certainly a possibility. I do think we sometimes blame too much on demonic spirits. But, you know, especially if it's something that just won't go away, you know, and you have to have help, please feel free. I understand. If you have a problem with procrastination, come to me and we'll grease each other up with oil and pray for each other. You know, some more than others, but I think, and I think it varies, you know, but see, it's the habit, it's the habitual part of it that makes it sinful, okay? Yep. 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 Start clean and end clean. All right. Any other comments? I'm just going to pray for you. You know, because I know it's an issue. I know it's out there. You know. Because you open, you know,
right.
Yeah.
And as you
deal with this, the Holy Spirit will confirm that, and that's when you get a Christian brother or sister. Well, I mean, you can kick out demons by yourself, but you know, I like reinforcements myself. So, all right, Father, I just come before you this morning. And I thank you for these, your people. Father, help us just to realize realize it. We have to identify it first. So, Father, help us to identify the areas that we just plain procrastinate in. And then cleanse us and forgive us as we confess that, Father. And then take us step by step into victory, overcoming. Because you said we are overcomers because of Christ Jesus. And there's no sin, there's no fault that has overtaken us that cannot be cleansed and removed by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His power, and His mercy. And now, Father, I ask you just to grace your people, Father, today with the divine ability to recognize, confess, and overcome procrastination. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen.